Coming up on today's show...
With AI right now, you can do just about anything. The thing that I don't like about it is it takes all the natural adventure, discovery, imagination out of it.
I'm trying to get by, but I'm stuck in a hole. Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, proud member of the Recording Academy, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. I can't see the future. I feel as if I'm blind. If I stumble right by it. Joining me today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from south of Los Angeles, my guest is a singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist who in March released his 9th album, fittingly enough, titled 9 Dreams. He has gotten international airplay and media coverage from Portugal to Canada to the UK and more. He even has his own publishing company and record label. He is already planning his next album. Plus, he is working with a studio in Los Angeles on various multimedia projects. He was previously a guest on this show more than 3 years ago on episode 471. You have been hearing a song of his called On Cannery Row. Welcome back to Now Hear This Entertainment, Johnny Reed.
Hey, thank you, Bruce. Thanks for having me here on Now Hear This Entertainment. It's great to be here again.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for making time to talk with me today. Let's get started by having you share with the audience first all about the song of yours that was just playing called On Cannery Row.
Well, On Cannery Row is, the title of the album, of course, is 9 Dreams. And this is an actual recurring dream that I had. And over the years, I had it, and I envisioned these different things. I was in this seaside town and meeting a girl, or something was happening. It was like an adventure. And I said, hey, I'm gonna make this a song. I think I'm gonna make this song because I'm doing Now Dreams. So it worked out great. And it's all about, going on that thing, looking for love. And I wasn't sure why I was sent on that adventure. It was in the dream that just said, just go to the sea, and said, go to the sea. And I said, okay, I'll go. But I didn't even know what I was looking for. And then eventually I find it's love. I'm supposed to find love there. And then I do end up finding a girl, but, it's not perfect. We don't admit that we like each other and that sort of thing. But anyway, it's a fun song, I think. I really had some fun doing the song. But it is an actual dream. I tried to convey it the best I could in the song.
But now, where does the title come from? Because it rang a bell with me, and I looked up online, and I don't know which of these two is the reason that I was familiar with On Cannery Row, but there is a novel by John Steinbeck called Cannery Row, and there's a movie called Cannery Row. So where did you come up with that song title?
That's exactly where it was. As I started doing the song, I said, I had this dream, but I never sure what it was. Did I see something about this once? Was there something about that? It seems like there was a movie or something? And then I started searching for, is there somebody by the coast that's trying to catch animals, frogs and things like that? And that I couldn't find anything. And then after about a year, I finally... occasionally just wondering about it, I found out they said Cannery Row, and I go, oh my gosh, is that it? So I went and found it. It is the movie, and that is the basis of my dream. I thought that it was just a place I went, and I had this, but it was just a little bit of that. This is when I had my divorce of my first wife. I was very young, and I was out on my own. I took my studio into a smaller bungalow down by the beach, and I just worked, and I was trying to figure out what is my life all about, and that must have hit a chord, and it stuck with me. I had reoccurring dreams years and years after that.
Amazing. Yeah, audience, 1982, Nick Nolte was the star of the movie Cannery Row. That song, On Cannery Row, Johnny is from your new album, your ninth album. Congratulations on that release. It's titled Nine Dreams. Tell us all about it. Over what period of time did the album take place? How many songs are on it? And then tell us about your method of working on the album.
Okay, first of all, yes, my ninth album. And on all my nine albums, I play all the instruments, do all the singing, the writing, the engineering, the producing, promotion, everything. I've been in all those fields, so, you know, I can do all that. My albums are never, I don't write the songs down and say, now it's time to do an album. I don't do that at all. I just start by thinking about things. And this particular album, what I do is I walk in the waves, right down in the water, not on the walk path. I'm usually by myself, seeing a fisherman or two. But you let your mind kind of go into the ocean. And you see, this is the way life has always been. This ocean has been here as long as we know it. And you kind of get lost in it and you get rid of your distractions. So as I would walk down there, I always have my cell phone. I sing kind of just improvising things. I would just sing about anything. A girl, a couple of phrases, a tiny melody. And then I pull out my cell phone and I record right into the cell phone. And I go, oh, that was kind of interesting. And I'll go walk a little bit more and I'll sing some more. And I go, oh, wait, there's a different twist. I'll sing it a different way. And I go, oh, yeah, maybe it's about this. So that's how the very first song that I developed was Walk in the Waves, song number one on the album. And it tells a story of what that's all about, really. But I fall in kind of a dreamlike thing, like I'm falling into the ocean and opening my eyes and seeing the world as it's been and, you know, just really be expressive about that. Actually, I didn't plan the title for the album yet at all. I didn't even know this was going to be about dreams. But it started with that dreamlike thing there. And then it just kept progressing. And then pretty soon I realized, oh, this is about dreams. I see my imagination, dreaming and imagination kind of mixing them all together into what the album came by. There are actually 10 songs on the album, not nine dreams. It's nine because of that. And there actually is one song that is technically not a dream. But you'll have to find out which one that is.
Yeah, because I would like to hear, you know, about how the Nine Dreams concept developed and how the title did come about as you were doing what you were describing for us.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so on my last album was called Octa or Infinity. So I used the number 8, of course, and the infinity symbol. That was great. So I started doing that after I get, you know, so many albums. What am I going to call it? And this one I was just going to call it 9. I thought that'd be great, just 9. Perfect. I had a 9 on a brick wall. That's it. Then later I said, no, and it's progressing more. This is about towards the end of the album. I didn't have the name until the end of the album. And then when I realized all the songs were turning out about dreams, I said, okay, well, the dreams, I got to have that in there. But I thought, well, I'll just use the 9. So then I researched the internet. I said, is there any other albums called 9? And I thought, probably not. Oh, yes, there were. There are several people that had them called 9. Oh, my gosh. Well, I said, okay, well, dreams. How about 9 Dreams and a Girl? You know, because there's one song that's maybe not a dream. So I thought, no, that's too much. 9 Dreams and a Wish? Let's see. No, 9 Dreams, that's it. But then as I researched that, it came up, 9 Dreams, it came up John Lennon's song, Number 9 Dream. And I go, oh, that's that song, Number 9, Number 9. I remember that. I said, well, what song is that? And then I looked it up and I said, it was his ninth, a song on his ninth album after the Beatles. So after the Beatles, he did 9 other albums. And that was a song on the ninth album, but it was called Number 9 Dream. But I said, okay, well, I guess that's the only confusion there would be. And if anything, that's good.
Yeah, and audience, I will put a link on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net, back to episode 471, when Johnny was first on the show, because I want you to go back and listen to that in its entirety, but specifically in regards to what he's talking about now. He knew Mal Evans, who was the Beatles road manager, and in that first interview, he talked a lot about that. So it'll kind of give you some framing as to what he just described for you now. Audience, I think it's time for me to do a trip reveal. The dates are not finalized yet, but perhaps you might have sensed that this was coming if you heard my interviews on episodes 637, 642, and 644 with Matt Warren, Rob Hatch, and Rebecca Lynn Howard, respectively. In each of those conversations, the three of them talked about the Las Vegas Songwriters Festival in August, when they will all be performing at the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino. That event is August 20th to the 22nd, but I am finalizing the details of my travel there, since I certainly will not only be there for just the 3 days of the festival. In fact, I am already talking with someone not connected with the festival about a potential podcast interview while I am out there. Keep listening to the show, follow on Instagram, and read the weekly e-newsletter as I finalize and then announce the dates that I will be out west. If you or someone you know are or will be in Las Vegas then, I would love to meet in person to say a face-to-face thank you for listening to Now Hear This Entertainment. Johnny, I want to talk about your new album some more, in the sense that 3 years ago when you were on the show, you talked about the fact that you played every instrument on the album you had released back then, and you started to mention this already, but present day, not only did you again play all the instruments on Nine Dreams, but some new instruments too?
Yeah, I thought I'd shake it up a little bit. When I play keyboards, of course, I've got the keyboard, which will have all kinds of different sounds. I really love just a good piano sound and a Hammond B3 song, as far as those go. So that doesn't change much. But this time I had one of my songs, which is, that's called Right Into the Storm. It's actually based about a Hawaiian mythical bird called Iwa, spelled I-W-A. But I said, that one, I could put a ukulele in that song, and just in the back a little bit, just to gather some of the mood. So when the girl's actually on the beach, looking up at the bird, the mythical bird, he will, you'll hear that ukulele in the background.
Mm.
So that's one. So yeah, I thought that was a kind of a fun thing to do. I didn't know how to play the ukulele or anything. I did have one, somebody gave me, but I said, oh, get it out, find out how to tune it, and I'll put it in there. So have a little meaning. And I don't know if we're going to talk about that song again, Right Into the Storm, but that's a bird that looks over lost travelers, lost people in their life. And it rescues them some way, or guides them, doesn't rescue them, but guides them on their way back home, either emotionally or physically. And so this is a Hawaiian spiritual bird. It's tied in with one of the goddesses that they believe in. But it's an actual bird called a frigate. That's a huge bird, and it soars up in the clouds. You know, it's got these big gliding wings, and when there's a storm, it actually flies into the storm and lets it take them all around, and it may not hit the ground for a month.
Wow.
It may not touch the ground for a month. So they've seen that. I don't know how they knew it was such a spectacular bird, but they said it doesn't come down. It's just, you know, amazing bird. So that's what it is. So it's a real bird, and I thought that was such an interesting thing. I had to put that in, too.
And then the other new instrument?
Oh, yeah, that was a three-string guitar box guitar. I have a friend of mine. He was actually the guy that got me first to make my first album. He was just one of my friends. I'd been playing music my whole life. But I did a song, and he said, hey, that sounds great. You sound like Bob Seger. I go, oh, really? Yeah, he goes, you should do an album of that. So that's actually my first album, Rock Dog. I did two albums under that, which is a hard rock. I'm not sure if it's Bob Seger, but it was a pretty successful hard rock band. But anyway, that guy then went on to later tell me, hey, you know, you play all that acoustic guitar and things like Beatles kind of ish things. Why don't you do an album of that? And that's why I did the Johnny Reed Show. And I changed gears from that, Rock Dog, so that in 2013, I put out that album. So that's that same guy. And eventually, he was making cigar box guitars, and he gave me two of them.
Wow.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to put that in the album.
Wow.
And I had no idea where it would be. I picked it up a couple of times. I thought it would be bluesy. I played some blues. It just didn't hit me. It didn't hit me at all.
Hmm.
Until I finally got to the song, Floating Within. And it was perfect. Whatever I did, I just did it. I don't plan things out. I don't know really what's going to happen. I just do it, and then I'll say, oh, I see. I may not even know what the song is about. And that particular song is that case where I said, I feel like I'm floating. So I played three different guitars. I use a Fender Telecaster, and I had two little licks that I play just for fun, just tiny things. And I never thought of putting them together, and I did that and put the cigar box guitar in there, and it came out great. And I didn't know why I was even floating, but I felt like I had to do a floating song. And then later I figured I'm looking for peace and happiness.
But let me jump in, though, because you say you never plan things out, but with regards to the three-string cigar box guitar, did you tell yourself, okay, I am planning to use this on this new album, so I need to learn my way around it and sound proficient enough to use it on the recording of the Floating Within song?
No, I didn't. But just as a courtesy to him, because he had, like, that's why I was mentioning why he encouraged me on the first album, and then the next set of albums, Johnny Reed albums, I said, hey, you know, I'm going to use this guitar. That'd be a nice thing for me to do, put it in someplace. So I tried it on a couple of songs, maybe, and I said, nah, it's not going to do it. It wasn't happening. So, and the ninth song was Floating Within. So you see, I'm getting close to the end of the album. And I said, hey, what about that? And I don't know how to play a chord on that. I just know how it's tuned. I don't know how to play a chord. I just held a couple of strings down and strummed. And, you know, move to different positions. And that's usually how I really don't know sometimes what key I'm playing in. Then later I have to go to the piano and say, oh, I see. Wow, what was I doing there? What was I doing? Oh, I see. I think I broke a rule someplace. But anyway, that makes it fun for me.
Well, you know, I know a lot of people are fascinated by workflow, by production elements. I think for people to simply hear that you play everything raises an eyebrow, certainly gets a, wow, reaction. But how do you actually do it? What is the process of playing everything? How do you record?
Okay, so here's how it could go. So I come back from the beach, and I do that every Saturday for sure, just walking in the water, making notes on my phone. So I have quite a few notes. And then I come back, and if it was something that I thought was pretty good, I can take that recording, come back into the studio, and try to think, what was it? There might be several different little takes about things, and I don't even know what the song is about. But I'll say, okay, I'm floating, and just try to, we'll do it. So I might pick up the guitar. Everything's already plugged into my studio. I've got an 18-channel mixer. It's old. It's a Fostex. I've had different recorders here over the years. I used to have a 1-inch 8-track, a Scully machine. Then I had a Fostex 8-track. I think I went to computer from there. Yeah, to computer. I don't use the mixer, but just for input. So it's already pre-plugged in from a bass guitar. I've got a copy of a Hofner that I've had for many years. I bought it for, I went all out. I spent $15 for it. It was broken. I fixed it. And so that has been my bass guitar, and I've never changed the strings on it.
Wow.
Never.
Wow.
Never. So that's pretty interesting. So sometimes I play keyboard bass, or I'll play the bass guitar, but this album is completely bass guitar. But sometimes you can get a punchy sound by playing the keyboard bass, you know, mix it in. But I'll just start with the song. So I might, if it was a song beat oriented, I'll set the drums plugged in, and I'm using a digital set of Roland that I've got keyed in. There's only one drum sound I have that I like. It sounds like natural drums. I actually have a whole set of Ludwig drums in the back room. But I'd have to mic them all completely. They're from the 60s. They were on the Lawrence Welk show, by the way. Yeah, Johnny Klein was the drummer on that, and I got them from him back in the 70s. And so it's a great double tom setup. But anyway, for this one, it's all plugged in. So the drums are plugged in all the time. The bass guitar is plugged in. I got my Fender Telecaster. It goes through a PV amp underneath the mixer here with a mic on it. It's always plugged in all the time. And the keyboard is right there, slides under the mixer, too. It's a Triton keyboard. And, oh, and the mic is always plugged in, too. I've got it's a Neumann mic. I think a 10-something, 105, 103 or something. But anyway, I could just pull that haphazardly towards the drums. It's just on boom stand. And I could just start playing the drums and singing what I was singing on the beach. And I'll just push record. Bang. I use Sonar, by the way. It's an old program, but I know how to use it great. So I might put the drums down and sing to what I had an idea. And I go, oh, okay, that's easy. I'm getting something. And then I might come over to the piano and then play along with that a little bit, whatever I recorded there a little bit. I said, oh, no, that. Pick up the guitar. Let me pick up the guitar. Okay. Yeah, okay, maybe that's good. And then I'll just play around with it a little bit. And it keeps on going. I said, okay, I'll add something to it. And sometimes I'll put a very basic drum to start it. But just for that first inspiration, I'll do fills and, mm-hmm. you know, just really go wild and have fun with it.
Mm.
But then I have to have some kind of basis to go with. So anyway, I start that now. And then sometimes I'll do a guitar and I'll say, this is great, this is great. The next day I might say, I'm not sure if that was right. It's okay. And I found out I end up hating all my songs at some point in the process. I go, oh my God, what a waste of time. What did I do? What? But I've done it so many times, I know coming. And I will say, no, just hold out. Find out what did I love about that? What caught me about that song that said, go do that song, do that song. What was it?
Did I hear you say at the beginning of this whole description, did I hear you say that you even import the cell phone voice memo into Sonar as a reference track?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so I can do that. What I will do is, yeah, I guess I'll email it to myself. That's what I'm doing. Email it to myself, open up the email, put it down in the folder, and I just throw it up on the first track, and I can look and say, what was I doing up there? Because you might think you remember what you did, but then I'll say, oh, I see. Okay, this is what I did.
Yeah.
And like that. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, and
wow.
Sometimes I'll do a small little thing, and then I'll try to sing a harmony while I'm out there too.
Mm.
And I'll say, oh, wow, that's cool. Okay, this could be a cool thing.
In early June, I was a speaker at a writer's conference in Quincy, Illinois, and one of the authors that I met there wrote a book called The Ship to Look for God. It's the first in a trilogy, and the main character awakens in a heaven without God and discovers that launching the ship just might end the eternal struggle between good and evil. Johnny, I'm saying all this because the third song on your album is called Build You a Spaceship, which I believe came from a recurring dream you've had several times?
Yes, that's another one. That's the recurring dream. Now, this one doesn't go back as far as the Cannery Row kind of a thing. This is more in the last 10 years that I'd be, you know, in my, I guess, sleeping, but then I'd say, somebody came to me and said, we want you to build us a spaceship. I'm like, what? Wait, why are you asking me? No, we want you to build a spaceship. I said, I don't know anything about rocket science. I'm not that kind of guy. I think you have me confused with somebody else. And it goes on like this in the dream, but they want me to build a spaceship. And so this recurring dream happens several times. There are people asking me to build a spaceship. So once I understood that, you know, I was going to be doing dreaming songs because I was going to do that song, I guess this song kind of influenced that it was going to be about dreams, because now it's really getting heavy into dreams because this was an actual dream. So anyway, I had that recurring dream. I go, what is that about? You wake up. And many times I'll wake up and speak my dreams into my phone, by the way. So that I said, on this date, you know, this people were asking me to build them a spaceship. So eventually when this came time for the album, I'm thinking about what song should I write? And I said, hey, how about this one? I'm going to make that a song. So I started thinking about, okay, well, who were those people? Who was mm-hmm. asking me?
Mm-hmm.
And then it came to me, maybe they were aliens coming to me. I go, why would they come to me? And I said, oh, they must have had be relied. They wanted my imagination. They wanted my imagination. And why was that? And because they had AI that was controlling what they do, their planet, all that stuff. And it had some kind of a meltdown. And so they forgot how to think and how to have imagination. So that's why they came to me. So this guy, and I didn't sit down and just plan this all out. It's as I was singing and doing things, and then it was suddenly like, oh yeah, these are aliens are coming to me. So then at the beginning of the song, so then I said, okay, actually that, the beginning of the song didn't come immediately. Later, I went and put the beginning in there where I'm driving down the road and the lights are over and I go, what's that? What's up there? Later on, I find out what the song is about. I didn't even know exactly it was aliens until it appeared that way, and I didn't know it was going to be AI until it became. I started probably singing it, and I probably sang that they want my imagination, and I go, oh yeah, they want my imagination. That's right. Oh,
these are some very very vivid dreams, as we're hearing.
Yeah, I know. I should probably go to see some kind of a shrink or something.
I am joined today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from south of Los Angeles by singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, publisher, and record label owner Johnny Reed visit his official website at johnnyreed.com. I will have a link for it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. You have been hearing him talk about his new album titled Nine Dreams. And as we said, it's his ninth album, so look for the eight that preceded it. Hear the new album on Spotify and through other online streaming platforms and digital music retailers, as well as, of course, as I said, his back catalog. Find and engage with Johnny on social media, Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube. There are links for those on johnnyreed.com. You have been hearing me talk on recent episodes about wanting to do a mailbag segment. I do want to engage with the audience and get feedback. I ask you to consider buying me a virtual cup of coffee as a way of letting me know that you like the podcast and as a show of support for Now Hear This Entertainment. On my podcast website, nhte.net, there is a bright yellow Buy Me a Coffee button. Tap or click on that to be taken to that platform, where you will also be able to post a message and I will write you back, just like you will see guests and listeners having already done. This is not a sponsor, by the way. They are not paying me to talk about them, and I'm pretty sure don't even know that I am. Instead, this is merely a method for us to further engage together. Check it out. Tap or click that bright yellow Buy Me a Coffee button at nhte.net. Johnny, song number two on your album is called How Do You Hear Love? Intriguing title. That one you say is like a movie you envisioned?
It's another one of those things where I was envisioning a loud room. I think I was in a loud room, actually, the very first time. It was a bowling alley, the very first instance. Music was blaring. People were talking. Video games were going off. The bowling alley. It was just a cacophony of sounds. And I said, wow, I'm just lost in this sound. Again, I almost wanted to record it. It was so interesting. And I go, gee, you couldn't really hear anybody, probably. You couldn't talk to them. And then it just started to came out, what if there was a person at a dance floor and there was a girl out there and she's dancing in this loud room? You thought, oh, wow, she's alone. She's kind of cool looking. Maybe I'll walk over there. And then you kind of walk over and you kind of dance and you go, wow, this is great. It's loud and loud. Nobody can hear anything. And you're smiling and waving at her, dancing. And then later she, you know, you had so much a great time, you know, smiling, you know, you just have a relationship just by smiles and looking and having a good. She leaned over to say something. I said, okay, what's she going to say? And then I realized I didn't understand her.
Wow.
It wasn't that I couldn't hear her from the noise. I didn't even know what language she was speaking.
Brilliant.
And I thought, oh, well, I was really going to tell her, I mean, that I like her or I love her or, you know, and, you know, maybe this could be the start of something great. Maybe she's falling for her, in love for her. But I can't tell her anything. And so I try to say, well, how about this? Here's a different language. So I actually say, I love you in eight different languages. So I, you know, English, Spanish, French, Arabic, Anaba Hedbuk is Arabic, and Korean, Salahinyo. So, and Nependa is Swahili. So I had different languages to pick from. So I thought, you know, yeah, let's say that. It'd be kind of cool. I always thought about doing a song in a different language. I go, well, maybe that satisfies a little bit of that.
Yeah. Wow.
But anyway, just making it a whole fun thing. And then at the end of the movie, it's like a movie going on. I can just picture the whole thing. You know, you're dancing, and you say, what happens when the music stops? Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, musical chairs. Is she walking out the door and I can't even say goodbye? I don't know what to say. So I don't know how the movie ends, if the guy really gets the girl or not. But
very unique.
But it was fun and I tried.
Very unique. There's something that you mentioned earlier in the first half of the show that I need to revisit, because sadly we are living in a time where people are starting to wonder how much AI is or was used on a single or an EP or an album that an artist puts out. You, Johnny, are outspoken that you are a recording artist, not an AI artist. Elaborate on that for us.
With AI right now, you can do just about anything. And I've had actually a business partner. I'm doing some other projects with Orbium Studios. We sat down one day for breakfast, and he said, "Okay, John, here, I'll show you this." He knows I'm doing the album. And he said, "Okay, we're having bacon and eggs, and we're sitting here. And Johnny and I are sitting. We're talking about entertainment business." Plugged it into the program. It came out a beautiful song. She's singing. She made it all up. Sunny Side Up in the morning. And it was beautiful, like a Disney song. I go, wow, what happened to entertainment and hard work? But the thing that I don't like about it most is it takes all the natural adventure, discovery, imagination out of it. You can tell it something and it'll do something that it wants to do. And it might sound good, but I think maybe everybody's going to start making their own songs and nobody will need the artist anymore. I've seen it done several times now. And you can say, "Oh, no, I'm making a grovelly voice." Okay, that's good. So everybody's going to have these grovelly voices or Dolly Parton voices, whatever they want, and sing perfectly pitched songs, perfect impeccable timing, perfect strings. Of course, you didn't do any of it. A computer did it for you. So, yeah. I haven't used any AI. There's nothing I want to do with that. I mean, I enjoy the thrill of the chase. Mm. If you take a drive, I used to take a drive out and just go a road I didn't know.
Wow.
And find it. But nowadays you go, nope, GPS, you're 3 minutes away from the bathroom, and would you like a Carl's Jr. or something? I don't know. I don't want to know that. I want to know that. I want to find that cool old guy and talk to him or that person and that cool rock and not just have that happen. So it's the same thing in music. I mean, if it's going to do it for you, what is that? You're just sitting back and watch it happen. You can just tell your AI machine, okay, write me 10 songs. It's going to get to this.
Yeah.
Do three about love and then do one about spaceships, building spaceships. And but it's lost. So I'm not doing that. And I've had people tell me that, oh yeah, AI can do this for you. I go, no, that's okay. even the album cover, I did the album cover. It's a shot I took of some water on the inside of my sunroof many years ago. It's really beautiful. That's in the background. The clouds are other pictures I took. I put them all together, did this how I wanted it. But people said, "Hey, wait, we can have AI do that. They can really make it." And I said, "No, it's okay."
Wow. It's okay. Well, I admire you because so many people are using it nowadays, and it would be very tempting to say, "Oh, that will really simplify things and speed things up for me." So my hat is off to you that you have stayed resistant. Let's move away from the actual music and talk instead about the promotion that you have been doing for Nine Dreams, because I think this could be a teaching moment for anyone in the audience who is an aspiring performer that's recording and releasing original music and then has to go on to that all-important step of actually promoting the release.
Yeah, the promotion, yeah, that's a whole other job. So after the album, I know it's going to be coming, and I already know things I've done, but you have to get it out there. So I use a variety of services to do that, but you have to be hands-on. Music Submit is one thing I've used. They put it out to people. People can say they like it. They want to put it on their playlist, or they want to interview you or something like that. So you got to do that. Follow up. Be very professional about it, of course. I just did that yesterday, by the way. I followed up on somebody. I think it came from Music Submit. And he called me because, "Hey, you actually wrote me back. Nobody ever wrote me back. You want to be on my show?" And that moment would not have happened if I wasn't following up on this 100%. So it's always open to anything and just keep trying. I used different services, Muso Soup in the UK. I did something with them, Music Talkers. There's lots of different ones. You have to find out what does it. I don't recommend anybody in Pakistan or India. I've gone that route before. And, you got to find real people that will do things. And you just don't want to pay your way to the top. You're definitely going to get a coffee. I'm not sure if you want cream or milk. You're going to get your coffee first. But, everybody's trying to do something, and we all have to work together. So I'm happy to help people out that way, too. So, and that's what you have to do. But that personal connection, in 2024, I did a big special in Wales for Celtica Radio. Andy, I talked to the guy, and he goes, okay, well, now you got so many songs, we can't put all your songs on it. This is before the special. Okay, so I said, oh, no, happy, just play a couple songs off that album, that's fine. I'm not pushing it. He goes, well, you've got so many, anyway, so I just went on, and then he did a quick little interview after a month or so. Then he came back and said, but I kept in good touch with him and things, and he said, you know what? Every year I do one special, and I want to do it on you.
Wow.
And I said, oh, great. And he goes, I'm going to do it. Great. He's going to, he made it so a white label special so I could give it to any station. You could put your moniker in there and, you know, fly it on your station. But he went all out. And he said, but, you know, the guy that did our biggest show before, it was a Wales rocker. Mm-hmm. I forget his name. But he said he had so many thousand. I said, okay, great. Well, that's wonderful. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to do anything. I just, yeah, whatever we do is great. I'm happy, Bill. Bill Everett is his name, by the way. Celtica Radio, Bill Everett. The last thing about that, my show blew that other guy's thing out of the universe. And the reason was I promoted it.
Mm.
I went on Facebook. I shared things on Facebook. I said, it's coming up on Facebook. Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Tumblr, Pinterest, all those things, and just kept it going. Here it is. I'm going to be coming here. Here's more stuff. Keep engaging the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had that show, and he said, this is the biggest show we've ever had in the history of the station.
Wow.
They were blown out. Was it that I was super good? Right. So that's how I wanted to finish that. It was not me being the greatest artist in the world. It's me being a great promoter.
Yeah.
So that's a good message to everybody, I think.
Now explain to the audience why you said a few minutes ago, don't pay your way to the top, because there might be someone out there with deep pockets that says, why not? I got the money. I'm happy to pay as many services as it'll take to get my music out there and higher up the charts.
Right. Yeah. So there's lots of people I get offers all the time. They go, hey, we really think you're great. We really want to do this thing for you. So just send us this money and, you know, we'll get you on our station. You go, oh, that's great. And they'll have great looking websites and they may even have some kind of station too. But it doesn't mean anything about it. And they just play it and, you know, maybe nothing will happen. I recently had one on a station. I won't tell what it is. But I didn't pay, but they said, oh, yeah, we're going to feature your song. That's great. So I went in, and they didn't even really announce the song. It was in between songs, and the next song after that was like an X-rated song, something about drugs and hoes. And I go, okay, great. I'm glad I didn't give my mom this link or, you know, some little kids, hey, kid, check out Johnny Reed. This is great. Yeah, and by the way, there's never any bad language in my songs. That's not entertainment, really, for me.
Well, you know, you've described a couple of your songs. For instance, you were talking about How Do You Hear Love? That was a movie that you envisioned, and there was another one as well. So are there music videos that you have done and or will be doing for one or more of the songs on this newest album? What does all that look like, videos?
Yeah, videos, yeah. On the last album, I did three different ones. And this was done by a guy named the Rodeo Clown Cowboy. He's like a director, producer guy out here in L.A., Hollywood kind of area. And so he's a very talented guy. He's got his own music. He's doing his own albums. But he said, Johnny, I want to do videos for you. So that's on the last album. And so now I send him a link to my new album. He goes, okay, I want to do a video, Walking the Ways. When can we do it? And so that's great. So that's going to be coming up. I'm not sure. Last time, I let him do whatever he wanted to do. I'm not paying him.
I'm waiting for you to say, but this time.
Yeah, so this time I wondered, you know, what? I said, what? You know, I'm wondering even, because I like to let the, you know, things happen. Just let them happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't really kind of want to get in the way of anything, but just want to see what does he have in mind more.
I see.
Like that.
I see.
Just to see. But he wants that. And I told him, well, yeah, that's a good song. I go, there's other songs too. He goes, well, you tell me what songs you're interested in doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll do something. That's definitely going to happen. I just had a little video done for me. I think it was actually from India. But now I found out the girl that did it speaks Spanish. So
a little video? Is it a social media video, like a short or a reel, or is it like some kind of music video? What do you mean?
Yeah, like a reel. It's on Instagram reel, and it was on Nine Dreams. It's something called Underrated Fresh Artists.
Whoa.
If you looked up that, Underrated Fresh Artists, and they did a whole, this little video, it shows me, and it says, why should you be listening to Johnny Reed?
Whoa.
He's doing all this. He's a one-man band. He's this and that. Totally unexpected.
Hmm.
So I just went, it came up Instagram, do you want this collaborator to be able to do this? I said, sure. So now, and I understand that now this, it cannot go directly to TikTok, so they're going to be sending me the video that I can post to TikTok.
Ah, okay, okay.
Yeah, but anyway, that's, again, promotion by me pushing things out there, and yeah, I'm on their playlist too. They have a playlist, so I'm on the playlist, but they went out of their way to make this whole album promo video. So, anyway, but I did not pay for it. So, you know, but you can always help them out or do something for them. Here's what my word is: cross promote. That's what I tell everybody when I'm doing with the Celtica in Wales or in the Canada. It's the Radio Arcadia group. I cross promote. So I take them, give them their links, make their station look great, so they appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I teased this back in the intro, so tell the audience about already conceptualizing what will be album number 10 for you.
Okay, so like I said, I never really plan things out, but it's more like just a mood. This album, I had no idea where it was going to go, because I have some musician friends. They said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. I don't really know until I walked in the waves and that first song came out, Walking in the Waves. And that set the tone for it. But this is like kind of pop rock, I guess. Some people say it's a little bit like a Beatles-sounding thing. But I have also the edgier sounds. And if I just sit in my anywhere and pick up the guitar, I don't play my songs. I never play my songs, really. I record them, and that's it. But I'll play the blues, like a rock blues guitar. That's what I play. I guess you can hear some of the guitar work on the album. You'll say, oh, yeah. Yeah, sounds like a blues and rock kind of a guy. And many of those things you hear on the album are like first takes. It's not like I tried to master a take. It's just what I play. It says has that. It's the part of it that lives and breathes that electric guitar. The drums are kind of keeping the beat, you know, doing the fills. The piano's okay, doing a pretty good job, but that guitar, when you just bend the string a little bit and do this and that, you go, oh wow, you cannot do that on a keyboard.
This rock sound that you're describing, I imagine that harkens back to your early years and some of the influences of what you liked to play along with.
Okay, right. Yeah. So my very first band, I was eighth grade. I played for somebody else's eighth grade graduation. As I walked out of my graduation, I put on a Nehru jacket and went off. We played at some other kid's eighth grade graduation with. All the guys were older. They're in high school and college. I was the little kid. So I learned, they played all the Beatles songs, they sang them. So I said, oh, that's great. But then later, I went home, got a hi-fi, and I got this record called Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Mm.
And another one says Disraeli Gears by Cream. And it was like, oh, put that in the hi-fi, crank it up. And I go, wow, wow. And just play along with that. And I just get lost in that. And then after that, I got into groups where we were just improvising.
Mm.
That's what we did. Just improvising things. We might have something we come back to and sing. But and in those days, I would sing or yell or something. But it was like a harder, interesting rock kind of a thing.
So it sounds like you're saying that for your next album, your 10th album, even though you don't plan it out, even though you haven't started doing any of the writing yet, these are some foundational influences of yours. So don't be surprised if those show up when the songs present themselves to you.
Right. Yeah. So I have no idea what the songs will be about, but just some kind of a freeform rock. I'm not saying Led Zeppelin, but it'd be closer to that than the Beatles.
Yeah. Okay.
And in any group you say, I don't actually really listen to music beyond, you know, hearing something on the radio in the car. People keep giving me albums. I've got a stack of albums people give me. And I say, you know what? I really don't want to listen to that because I will. Right now, I'm just using my memories of whatever I faintly knew 20 years ago or more.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I never really learned those songs. I never played guitar in a band. So I just played myself.
Since I alluded to this when I was introducing you at the start of the show, I do want to give you a chance to talk about the studio in Los Angeles that you are doing some multimedia work with. You started to mention them very briefly a little while ago.
Yeah, I spent, as in the last time we talked, I had a career in the Hollywood area at the sound stages. We had an entertainment company. Yeah, I've always kind of fallen into things. By the way, I used to work for telecommunication companies, things like that, but I've always had a studio my whole life, always did two things. And I went to get a song for the Commitments movie, and that guy said, hey, do you want to stay and co-produce this TV with me, TV show? Oh, okay, sure. So I did that for a long time. And then he said, oh, I know a guy in the Cannes Film Festival, and he's doing films. You want to do that? Oh, okay, I'll go over there. So I did that whole thing, and they had me be an associate producer, and I stayed there a few years, films, lots of films, and crazy, crazy Hollywood stuff. So when I came back to Redondo Beach, I said, I've had enough of that. Too much BS, people promising things, taking advantage of people. I said, no, okay, I'm back here. But I've always still done some things with the Monaco Charity Film Festival over the years. I was their technical director. I've always had my hands in everything, was it Mattel or Disney, the whole toy world, I was big in that. But I'm always looking for something different. And I met one guy, and I vetted him out. I heard him saying some things, and I vetted him out, and this guy is very sharp. And so eventually, we got together. And so it's called Orbium Studios. That's the name of the company. As you can see, there's a website, Orbium, O-R-B-I-U-M, Studios. And it's just coming, so we're going to be doing films. We're going to do unscripted TV. We already have one series, actually, 8-episode series, out of Rome Come Marked. It's a tattoo show, but it's actually an emotional thing. Mm. I went through it. When I first saw it, I said, okay, I go, wait, didn't seem like there's much tattooing going on here. But it is more emotional. So it's more of a tearjerker by the time you get done with it, an emotional thing.
Wow.
Every episode is something else. It could be a mother that says, oh, yeah, I want this tattoo. And the guy said, okay, I'll design it. What do you want? She goes, I want a hummingbird, and I want this, and a star, and this. And then there's another tattoo artist. He says, well, I think here's what I see. So it does involve that. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing is when she tells her story, and you find out it's about her son that she lost because of whatever reason that was. Cancer, drugs, different things. Wow. And everybody has stories about how they're marked on their
very interesting
body. Yeah, so it's interesting. So we've got that, but we've got movie scripts already. We've got that he's been writing scripts. I mean, I don't really do movie scripts, although I've done some scripts work. But I've got movie ideas. So we're going to probably get those ideas too. Everything's open right now. But we're pitching things to Lionsgate and Netflix. But now, as of yesterday, it looks like Netflix wants to buy Lionsgate. So,
an audience, again, it's orbiumstudios.com if you want to look them up. O-R-B-I-U-M, orbiumstudios.com. We're going to close today with another one of Johnny's original songs, one called See What Tomorrow Brings, which is actually the 10th and final song on the new album. Before I let you go and we play that track, Johnny, share with the audience first all about this one, if you would, please.
Okay, yeah. Now, this one is about a dream-oriented, but it's actually about a friend of mine that I've known for 30 years or more, and he was a happy guy. He got sick, and he went down and down and down until finally, this went on for a year, until he said, I think that's it. I'm going to end my life. Suicide.
Wow.
And I said, oh, I'm trying to listen as a good listener. And then I realized this is very delicate. But then as we talked a little bit more, another day, he said, but you know what? I figured everybody's going to die someday. So maybe I'll just wait and see what tomorrow brings. And then I walked away from that like in a little daze, like, oh, my gosh, my friend was just telling me he's going to maybe commit suicide, and is he still, so anyway, I started writing notes on that song about just some phrases, like, what would I even say? I don't even know what I would say. And then he mentioned the loony bin thing, and then I said, oh, maybe we would joke about that. No, I don't know what you would do. But the song is actually, it was kind of was going to be two songs, I thought, but then somehow it all came together. It actually tells a story. Hmm. It actually tells our story there, and it is a movie. It is a movie. That was definitely a movie. But he was saved by his dreams because he remembered, you know, what was there in life that was good? He was about to have a granddaughter, his very first granddaughter. His only daughter was going to be having that. So there was something about that. And in reality, he did get sent away to a loony bin. Mm. He did. His wife did whatever she did. If you hear the song, he said he told his wife, but his words betrayed him. But maybe those words, they really saved him. You know, so anyway, he went to a place like that, and I went to visit him out there. High security, take your drugs. It was just like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Mm. Those kind of movies, this is what it was. So anyway, that's what the song is. See what tomorrow brings.
Wow. Johnny, congratulations on the new album. Thank you so much for making time to be back. I now hear this entertainment. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you so much, Bruce. Thanks again for having me on.
You bet. And audience, with that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist Johnny Reed. Again, do visit his official website at johnnyreed.com. As I mentioned earlier, I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. His new album that we have been talking about today is called Nine Dreams. Find it on Spotify, give him a follow there, and look for it as well across other streaming platforms and other online digital music retailers. Look for Johnny's back catalog as well, the 8 albums that have preceded this one. Social media-wise, look for Johnny on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Let him know that you heard him and his music on Now Hear This Entertainment. By the way, there is a totally separate website, Music Room Online, for his production company, so do check that out as well. That will do it for episode 647. Thanks ever so much for listening. I will send you out today with another song from Johnny Reed. This is the one he just talked about. It's called See What Tomorrow Brings.
Life was so wonderful. All your dreams were coming true. Then the storm rained down and tried to take it away from you. So on a dark day, he said he was done. Nobody knew that he had a gun. His life as it was, it wasn't worth living. He was such a good man, he was always giving. Then he told his wife, but those words betrayed him. But maybe those words, they may have saved him. You see, he's not trying to get heaven. He's just living in a world of pain every day, and it got darker every day. But then he remembered his dreams. Don't forget your dreams. I think I'll wait and see what tomorrow. So they took him in to the loony bin. You can't get out as easy as you got in. They locked his door, they took his phone. He was in with the crazies, but wished he was alone. He told them he was in pain, but they didn't believe him. They said, take this handful of pills, you might just stay here. You see, he's not trying to get to heaven. He's just living in a world of pain every day, and it kept getting darker every day. But then he remembered his dreams. Don't forget your But they won't go out.